Well, I'll give you the heads up with this one. This Bible reading does sound a little ominous or even scary, but I encourage you not to get distracted or lost in the noise of fear. Instead, focus on the powerful one who is returning, our beloved and victorious Jesus, our Saviour and our King, our certain hope and our future. Keep your heads up. Reading from Luke chapter 21, verses 25 to 36. There will be signs in the sun, moon and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. And at that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you will know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of the Lord. Over to Pastor Ha.
Excuse me, I need to keep hydrated. I've had some of my saliva glands removed, so I need to keep lots of water happening. Otherwise, I'll be very croaky. Friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, speak this word of Scripture into our hearts, that we may hear what you want to say to us, and draw us closer into the embrace of Jesus and his love, that by your Holy Spirit you might bring renewal and blessing as we spend this time in your word. Bless us now and bring glory to your name. Amen. Well, the theme for my message this morning for you is heads held high, and I couldn't resist the thought of those little cute critters called meerkats. Any fans of meerkats in the room? Hey, oh boy, that's a pretty good... Okay. They're cute little critters. They come out of their burrows and they do that. They're out in the savannah and they stand up high and look around. They're always alert, looking out for moments of danger, knowing what's going on around them. They're kind of an object lesson in that, really, of being aware of your surroundings, and taking notice of what's happening around you. And I kind of had this thought that maybe we can learn something from the meerkat as we head towards Christmas. Something to help us to be alert, to pay attention, to be aware of what's happening around us in the lead up to Christmas, that we might prepare for that. In verse 28 of our text, we read, "When these things begin to take place, Stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Jesus could just as easily have said, when these things begin to take place, act like a meerkat, because your redemption is drawing near. As we've already said, today is the first Sunday in Advent. We're having the countdown to Christmas. We're thinking about what that might mean for us. And Advent, as I said before, is a season where we prepare in terms of repentance, in terms of reflecting on where our lives are and on our need for Jesus. And that's how we prepare our hearts for the coming of Jesus, our Saviour, at Christmas. Now, at this time, we all spend a lot of time and effort decorating our homes. A lot of Christmas baubles out there, a lot of festive cheer, certainly is going to be happening in the coming days in our house. That's a good thing. We also spend a lot of time and energy, not to mention a lot of money, on doing all our Christmas shopping, as stressful and difficult as that is. Can all get a little bit crazy, can't it? So right in the busyness and stress of the lead up to Christmas, it's important to take heart Jesus' warning in our text in verse 34 when he says, now it's a little bit confronting, but let's listen. Don't let your hearts become occupied with too much feasting and drinking, and with the worries of life. Sure sounds to me like Jesus knows all about how we Aussies like to celebrate Christmas, and how our celebrations, which are good in themselves, can become a problem, because they can lure us away from what Christmas is really all about. They can entangle our hearts. So how do we keep our focus, stay alert like meerkats? How do we keep our focus and prepare for Christmas? What's the best way to prepare spiritually for Jesus coming? Well, our answer to that will centre around three key words: waiting, praying, and hoping. Hoping. Waiting is all about being alert. Again, we can think of those lovely meerkats looking around. What's going on? Likewise, we need to be on the lookout during Advent for those places where Jesus is already amongst us. We don't have to wait till Christmas for that. Jesus is already here. And to be ready to respond to Jesus' invitation to connect with him, to grow closer to him this Advent season. Now, to wait effectively, we need to slow down. We need to be quiet. Quiet enough to listen. Now, that's hard for us at this time of year because everything is so noisy at the moment, isn't it? The lead up to Christmas, everything is rush, rush, rush. That's precisely why we need to make the choice and to intentionally step away from that. We can't do it completely, but find times to step away from that, to find a place to slow down, to catch our breath, to quietly reflect, which would be a good time for me to have another sip of water. Now, this waiting leads us into praying. In verse 36, right at the end of our text, Jesus says, "Be always on the watch and pray." And pray. So what kind of things can we pray for in the lead up to Christmas? Well, as it turns out, they're exactly the same things that we can pray for when we're getting ready for Jesus coming back at the end of time. And Advent, of course, has this dual focus. Advent is getting ready for Jesus coming in two senses. Getting ready to celebrate his first coming at Christmas, but also getting ready for his return at the end of time. And the prayers that we pray in both anticipations are exactly the same. Now, the New Testament in various places encourages us to pray about the following things. First and foremost, this Advent season, I think Scripture would be encouraging us to pray for an increase in our faith and in our love, that we might trust in Jesus more and allow his love to flow through us to others. To pray for that we would stand firm in the Lord, we pray for perseverance, to hang in there, particularly when things are getting tough. Pray that our hearts might be strengthened in holy living, to live our lives according to the gospel, to live our lives in a way that pleases God. So then we can pray that we might be infused with hope, which just happens to be the theme for this series. I had to put that in for you there, Rolly. And finally, that we pray that we might make use of every opportunity that God gives us to be a blessing to the people around us and to take up the opportunities that God gives us to share with others the wonderful good news about Jesus. Now, those prayer points are pretty self-evident, but if you want to look at them again, they will be on the Good Shepherd website. You can look at those then. So having prayed those prayers for ourselves, not just once, but on an ongoing basis throughout the Advent season, let's step back a little bit and think, well, actually, we can also pray exactly those same things for our loved ones. We can pray exactly those things for our fellow believers here at Good Shepherd. Pray that our loved ones and our co-worshippers here might grow in their faith and love. Pray for each other that we might stand firm in the Lord, that we might persevere. Pray that collectively our hearts will be strengthened in holy living so that we might live by the gospel in this place and that we might be pleasing to God in all we do. Pray for one another that we might be infused with hope. And pray, finally, that together we might take up every opportunity we have to serve others. And the greatest service of all, share with them the wonderful good news about Jesus. Friends, the bottom line is that we prepare best for Christmas by being in the Word and by being people of prayer. That's how we keep ourselves alert spiritually, getting in touch with our inner meerkat. Right? That's how we pay attention. That's how we notice and remember what's really important in life. Maybe we should have stickers of meerkats and place them on our Bibles. Help us to remember that. Now, in this context, Jesus makes us a tremendously comforting promise in our text of verse 27, Jesus promises, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Here's a rock solid foundation to build your life on. The promises of God's love and forgiveness that he speaks to us in the Bible. Here's the place to go to receive reassurance and comfort in life. To receive the message of salvation in Jesus. A message of hope for the world and hope for every one of us. Fred, such waiting and praying lays the foundation for us approaching the Christmas season with hope. We can face the many troubles and challenges of life with confidence and hope because we know that Jesus is with us every step of the way. As his name Emmanuel reminds us, Emmanuel of course means God is with us. We've sung that already a couple of times this morning, haven't we? I always think it's a bit of a pity that we tend to only remember Jesus' name Emmanuel at Christmas time. We should remember his name Emmanuel right through the year because he's always with us right through the year. So what is Christmas all about? At its core, Christmas is about God drawing near to us to help and save us. God taking on our human flesh and blood. It's about God getting down and dirty. It's about God entering into the messiness of life. Anyone relate to that? God entering right into the messiness of life to be with us and to lift us up. Christmas is about God identifying with us, travelling with us, suffering with us, crying with us, sharing life with us, and also God rejoicing with us, God bringing new life and freedom to us. Christmas is about God becoming one of us so that we can be at one with him. This year, many people are particularly looking forward to having a special family get together at Christmas after COVID has kept us apart for so long. Let's allow that to remind us about Christmas is similarly about a long-awaited family reunion. Christmas is the culmination of God's long-term plan to get his children back. That's talking about us. God's long-term plan to get his children back after something much worse than COVID had kept us apart. And you know what that is. It's our sin. Jesus came to bridge the gap that sin has created between God and us. Jesus has come to bring us back into God's family, to restore us to God, to make us whole new people, to give us a new beginning in life, and setting us free from our sin, from our guilt, from death itself. That's why it's important that when we prepare for Christmas, we remember not only that Jesus came, but we remember why he came. Why he came. Jesus was born to die for us. Jesus was born to die for us. And that Christmas tree, stripped of all its baubles and foliage, inevitably leads to another tree, the tree of Calvary. So knowing that, that Jesus has come to save us, that Jesus has come to die for us, that Jesus has come to set us free, we as the people of God can joyfully raise our heads high, like meerkats. And we can do that with the absolute confidence in the goodness of God, knowing that God loves us, that God forgives us, that God accepts us and embraces us with his grace and mercy. Now, friends, I dearly wish, if we had time, that I could come out to each of you and look you right in the eye and say to every one of you personally, in Christ, you are greatly loved. In Christ, you are fully forgiven. In Christ, you are completely accepted by God. Now, since it's not really feasible for me to actually do that to you individually, unless we want to send the service out to 1 o'clock, Rolly? No, okay. We're not going to do that, but what I'd like to do instead is get you to proclaim that truth to yourself and to say these words as a blessing over your own life. You're up for that? Okay. So I invite you to say with me, and we'll do it a little bit like you see pastors do it at weddings, that they, when the groom can't remember what to say, he says a bit and then the other person says it. And we'll try that. So this is what we're saying together. You ready? In Christ, I am greatly loved.
In Christ, I am fully forgiven.
In Christ, I am completely accepted. Okay, that was okay. But let's say it again, a second time, with conviction. If you want to have a few fist pumps, that's okay, but whatever works for you. Okay. In Christ, I am greatly loved.
In Christ, I'm fully forgiven.
In Christ, I'm completely accepted. Now, if you're able to do, I'd like you to stand, those of you who are able. And I want you to say this truth a third time, this time in celebration, and thanks and praise to God. In Christ, I am greatly loved.
In Christ, I'm fully forgiven.
In Christ, I'm completely accepted. Friends, knowing that truth, confessing it, and celebrating it, that's the best way to prepare for Christmas. God bless you in that. Please be seated. Let me pray for you. And it's no surprise I'm going to pray for you the very things I said that we should be praying at Advent. Is that okay? Let's pray. Lord, I bring before you your beloved children here at Good Shepherd Barra Vista. I pray that you would increase their faith in you and their love for one another. Lord, I pray that you would help them stand firm in you. Grant them perseverance in the midst of the difficulties of life. Help them to hang in there. Lord, strengthen their hearts that they may live lives that are holy to you. that their lives may be lived according to the gospel message of forgiveness and grace in Jesus, and that they may live their lives in a way that pleases you. Lord, may they be infused with your hope to stand secure in that. And Lord, help them individually and as a community to take up every opportunity you give us to serve others in your name, to love them and care for them, and grant us all the courage and joy of telling others about the good news of Jesus. To your glory and our good. Amen. Now, before we go further, and I have teed it up with them so they don't get embarrassed, I thought it might be kind of cool to get Pastor Rowley up. I know that you celebrated him before at the beginning of the service. Come on, Rowley, come up here. And Rowley, I want to say over your life and your ministry, this word of blessing was said over each other, and I invite you to join me in affirming your pastor and strengthening him as he draws strength from your faith and love. So join with me. Rowley, in Christ, you are greatly loved. Rowley, in Christ, you are fully forgiven. And Rowley, in Christ, you are completely accepted. Go with the peace of the Lord. Now, Rowley, what I'd like to, without imposing on you, if you'd like to run with this, you've received a blessing. Pass on that blessing. So, Georgie, up you come. Rowley is going to say that blessing over you.
Georgie, in Christ you are fully forgiven. In Christ you are greatly loved.
In Christ you are greatly loved.
In Christ you are completely accepted.
In Christ you are completely accepted.
Amen. Pass it on. Share it with people you encounter this week.